All right, we're here.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Don't Be Mad with your main host, Matthew Rivera, and I'm followed by my co-host,
Jason, the Aura Elias.
My God, there is no energy in him right now. What the hell?
There's plenty of energy in me. How are you guys doing? Welcome, welcome back, or welcome if you're first listening. How are you guys doing?
All right, so it's technically, would you say it's a beautiful Saturday right now? A little muggy, a little humid, but overall it's pretty nice. And we're just going to kick this off with some good vibes, saying thank you for listening. Thank you for telling a friend. Thank you for hitting us up and letting us know that you enjoy what we're doing, you know. And as always, we're going to push it forward for you guys. If ever you want to contact us, we have our main Facebook page, Don't Be Mad Podcast. We also have Twitter at Don't Be Mad Pod.
We also have the website, which is theconnect.ca. And there you can get the episodes, blog posts, forum discussions, anything that's basically interactive. You can go to there and your needs will be met.
And you can also email us at don'tbemad@theconnect.ca.
Nice, nice, nice.
All right. So with all the contact info and pleasantries out the way, let's start this episode with Charlottesville.
Those cracker ass crackers.
Okay, I'm not gonna go that far. I'm just gonna say I'm starting with Charlottesville. I'm gonna say our prayers and thoughts are with you guys, and we are hoping that the people that came into your town to defile it and make it their basically their beacon of hatred, that they get out as fast as possible so you can begin the healing, the cleansing, and the repairing of what is a beautiful college town in Virginia that didn't deserve anything that came to it. And honestly, like, what you guys were planning on doing, getting rid of that monument, was a first step that prompted many other cities across America to take the right step towards really looking at the Confederate monuments that they have prompted and have allowed to remain in plain sight for far too long, to take them down and basically clean up America in the right way.
Yeah, I gotta get rid of those symbols of hate that, you know, for a lot of people in the States, especially when it comes to people of color, there's still a hurt that's remaining there just by, you know, when people are going to schools named after Confederate soldiers, Confederate leaders. It's kind of degrading.
It's in disgusting. Certain way. It's literally disgusting, because we know this, like the monuments, like the naming of schools and streets, this all happened during the Civil Rights Movement to, like, basically remind Black people that they were still seen as less than. And, you know, like, and today it's more than just Black people, you know, it's, you know, any minority in America that has to see these things on a daily basis, whether they're in the South or not. Like, they recently took down a monument that was in Montana, and Montana wasn't even created until after, what, it was 30 years, I believe?
Yeah, 30 years after.
After the Confederacy was even gone. So it's like, to think that, you know, monuments are in places where the Confederacy didn't even have a hold. Like, it's things like that that we need. Like, not, I won't say we need what happened in Charlottesville to happen, but it opened a lot of people's eyes, and it's starting to create a snowball effect that's positive. Mm-hmm. Even though, like, unfortunately, there was a death involved with Heather Heyer. You know, rest in peace to her.
Yeah, rest in peace.
And blessings and prayers to her family, because what we saw from her and hearing from her mom, hearing from her dad, how she was really a very strong-willed, vocal person against the oppression that was happening to minorities as a white woman doing that.
And what's also important is if anything Charlottesville can remind us of, is that everyone needs to speak up, regardless of color, race, or whatever you believe in, gender, anything like that. It's very important that you speak up when you see injustice, when you see prejudice, when you see anything that involves racism. It's highly important to stand up to it. And don't feel that you should be afraid to stand up for something just because, you know, you might be looked upon differently. It's very important that you need to stand up and make this public to especially people in government, people in power, that, you know, where your vote counts, where you can make a change. Kind of put the fear in people who have the power to make that change. quickly.
Of course, because the biggest thing about this is it's the understanding that this isn't a fight against race. Like, it's not black against white or Latinos against white or anything like that. Although they use the moniker white supremacy, white nationalism, all right, or whatever you want to call it. Like, at the end of the day, this is a fight against hatred.
Yeah.
It's a fight against this ideology of hatred that is being so blatantly shown, and it's being so blatantly uplifted by this side. And it's unfortunate that we have this struggle happening right now, because you would think after all these years, these types of people who for the most part used to just live in the shadows, we saw them come out at times, like we knew they had their rallies, but they hid their faces, you know, like now they are in plain sight. Well, they're not hiding under hoods, they're not hiding under masks, like they are coming out in droves and they are showing you who they are. They want you to know who they are. They're looking to get to the press to let their message be spread. And you know, it's unfortunate that this is happening, but at the same time, it's a reminder that this fight against this hatred and this bigotry and this ideology that is just so disgusting towards everyone who is on the opposite end of it, not just minorities, but the white people that are against it as well, who are fighting against it, they get treated like dirt by these people. It's that reminder that we have to keep remembering to have each other's backs, uplift each other. And even though they're personifying this hatred onto us, like remembering that we're fighting them because they have a misunderstanding of the love that they can receive from the people they hate.
Well, this is one thing I wanted to talk about, especially when it comes to white supremacists. You see that it mainly started lightly, this kind of protesting from white supremacists, when Obama started. They weren't in the open as you see them recently in the news. I think, you know, by having a black president, they're, you know, that kind of raised the boiling point to a certain degree. And by having now, when you have Trump in the presidency, who kind of make it fashionable to have this certain type of bigotry in the open. Now that
Trump just came in, it was just like, very first thing he wanted to do was let you know how he felt about Mexicans.
He added oil to the fire.
He just walked in saying they're rapists, murderers, drug dealers. And it's like, well, this is who he is.
And
off the bat, this is who he is. And you know what? Like, it's funny to me now that, like, well, it's good, but it's weird at the same time that, like, you're seeing a lot of Republicans now come out. And finally, after...
It's all politics.
So many, like almost over a year.
It's all politics.
Oh, of course, it's all politics. But at the same time, it's like it took him literally semi-denouncing white supremacy and then basically turning around and saying, well, there's good on both sides for the Republicans to finally just be like, no, like our president is not representing us properly. He's betrayed our trust. And it's like, no, he should have betrayed your trust the moment he was on that campaign and said the things he said.
And that's why I say it's all politics, because this is, I don't want this to come off as sounding bad, but a lot of Republicans in the United States, not a lot of them, like in the same population wise, but I'm talking about the people who are actually in government, who control the government, House and Senate. They think like this. They just want to save.
I don't even want to say they think like this. I think for them, it was more a matter of they saw somebody who was campaigning as a Republican gaining this powerful stance where the people were actually backing him and he was getting this support that was going to put them back in power.
Yeah.
And I feel like it was just completely them being like, you know what? We'll ride his coattails so we could get the power back. And once we get it, like once he's in, he won't be the same person. And I truly believe that Republicans that were turning a blind eye to the stupid shit he was doing during the campaign really felt like once he's in the White House, he will have that respect for office that everyone has once they're in the White House. But like, and I mean, like, there was a point even myself, I felt like, you know what, as fucked up as he is, as fucked up as I don't want him in there, once he's in office, once we see the cabinet that he puts around him, then let's really look at what he's going to do.
I had no faith.
That's the thing. Like, I like not that I had faith, but I'm just like, there's no way a guy could be this bad. When we saw like the people he was bringing in, like right off the bat, when it was like Bannon and these guys were just like, you know what? Yeah, no, there's absolutely no, like, I see exactly where this is going with the type of people he's bringing in. And then he's bringing in people that aren't even like have 1% of qualification for certain jobs. Like, why the hell was Davos ever
it's not even that.
There for education? Like, it made no sense.
It's not even that what's funny. It's to me, Trump as a president, it doesn't process in my head. How could a person who fired Gary Busey on a Celebrity Apprentice be giving orders to the free world and has the nuclear codes? That doesn't make any sense in my head whatsoever. It doesn't register in my head. How could a reality TV star? That's because that's what he is. That's essentially no, what
that,
he is.
That 100%. Like,
reality TV star. How
businesses are not. Like, we know him because of Celebrity Apprentice. Like, his name became such a big thing. Like, yeah, your name is on your towers and your stakes and your university. That's just like, was the worst thing ever.
It was a big Ponzi scheme, yeah, pretty much.
100%, that's what it was. But it's like, you put your name on all these things, but we know you as the guy who says you're fired. Like, that is what, at the point before you becoming president, was the greatest thing for you. Now, you will go down in history as the worst president to ever hold office as number 45. That is who you are.
Yeah, people don't even call him president. They call him 45.
But you know what? For me, I think you should call him president. Call him the president. He is the United States president, number 45, the commander in chief, and he has been connected to the worst status of any president that's ever taken office. He has the lowest approval rate of any president who's ever taken office.
Yeah, it's probably going to go down too. Things. It's probably going
to
have more.
And to me, it's like, save him. He wants to hear his name so much, let him hear his name with all the negative things he's done. Because all he likes to do is, you know, say anything that's negative about him is fake news. And then anything that's good about him, he wants to blow up and put up and tweet about and show the world, like, oh, these guys said good things about me. Like, no, they're basically like patting you on your head and saying, oh, you're a good boy. Like, no, you're not a good boy. You're a terrible president of the United States of America. That's what you are.
Person. That's what he's not even tell proud. He's a terrible person. No,
give him the respect he deserves. He is the worst United States president to ever take office in the history of the United States. That's what he is. That's what he is. But Donald J. Trump, that is who you are.
I also want to mention another thing, too, because it was yesterday or the day before, I can't really be certain, that his white supremacist, quote-unquote,
who is this?
Chief strategist? Yeah, Chief Strategist, Steve Bannon. Was fired. So
the rumor was he was supposed to get fired 2 weeks ago.
I don't believe that. I think.
Well, no, like we've been hearing for a while, like even prior to like Scaramucci getting in
the
and
mooch.
Then leaving after what was it, 5-10 days or something like that there was problems with Bannon. Then they were hearing a lot of talk about like friction between them, how they weren't communicating, how.
But you know, but that tells you his thinking now. Like, for example, think he was supposed to fire him. 2 weeks ago, before the comments was made.
Oh, way before.
Way before the comments way were made. Before. So what does that tell you about Trump's thinking? And what does he think? Because a lot of people thought this whole white supremacist thing coming from Trump, the bigotry and everything like that, was because Steve Bannon was, you know, instructing him to say these kind of things. But now we have the idea that, oh, he was supposed to get fired 2 weeks ago.
Well, and Trump said this stuff
recently.
But no, like, there's one thing that we know for a fact that when Trump made those comments, he was basically going off the cuff because we saw he had a paper that was literally one paragraph and the paragraph was on like 35 font.
Yeah, yeah.
Where it literally, you could see what he had to say. It would have been 15 seconds at most, but he decided he's going to turn a layup.
He told us how he really felt.
Full court shot.
He told us how he really felt.
Yeah. Like, how hard is it to just go out there and be like, white supremacy is bad. I denounce it. I do not support it. I don't want them supporting me. And then walk away. If he had done that, even though it would have been short,
people like him,
people would have been like, you know what? He said the right thing. But then he went up there and wanted to defend the white supremacists, then wanted to talk about the alt-left, which is the first time I had ever
Antifa,
heard of that.
Antifa, you know, and all that stuff.
Yeah. You know, like Antifa. And it's like, he really wanted to go out of his way to say, no, like, let's sympathize with the white supremacists, with the guys who were violent, who the people who drove the car.
Made a moral equivalency that they're both the same, you know? Which they weren't.
And it's like, how can you actually stand there and do that when literally you were, for a politician, anything that has to do with hatred is a layup.
Oh, yeah.
That's a layup. It's literally go in front the camera and say, this is bad. My prayers go out to you. We need to come together. This should never happen. these are ways we got to work together. Let's come together as a country and make ourselves better. Well, God bless America.
Well, he airballed that layup.
That's a layup.
He airballed that layup.
That is a layup.
He airballed that layup.
He essentially did that layup in his own net. That's what he did. Yeah, you want to add?
I mean, yeah, you take into
consideration. Sorry, guys, for the people listening, we have one of our friends here who just wanted to chime in a bit. So I'll come in. Come to the mic.
No, but if you take into consideration, like you said, his celebrity, he's known for being in front of the camera. He likes provoking media. He likes the attention. So he's not going to say anything people should say. He's going to say what he's going to get the most reaction from. And that's his behavior pattern. He pretty much took the White House like his boardroom, and he's been firing people left, right, and center.
This is the reality TV thing I was trying to tell you about. He wants that attention. It's a pride thing when it comes to him. He's a 70-year-old stuck in his ways. He got a TV show, Celebrity Apprentice, that made him relevant, because before that, we knew about who Trump was, but we didn't know about him that much.
He's essentially a chip off the old block, because we know his dad in 1924 was arrested during a Klan rally in New York. And I mean, like, 1924, man. Think about that. 1924.
My grandmother was
everything
born that
was
year.
Racist.
Oh, yeah.
How racist do you have to be to get arrested at a Klan rally? That's something to think about. Like, in 19... Like, I'm not talking about, like, 2017. I'm talking 1924. Like, racism was there. It was the thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like... It was a stop sign, basically, on every corner. Like, that's what racism was back then. And you're telling me you were at a Klan rally and got arrested?
Like, I tell you, man, it's amazing. Like,
off the old block, man.
It doesn't register for me in my head that he is present. I know he's present. I understand the fact.
Oh, it just registers for me.
It does not register in my head.
It registers, like, because I don't want anyone to forget it. I don't want anyone to, and there are people out there, like, you know, professionally, they don't want to say his name. They don't want to give him respect. And you know what? Like, that's your choice. Me personally, I will say he is the United States president every damn time because of everything negative that comes with what he's been doing.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a reminder to people that this, like, especially the people who went out of their way to vote for this guy and put him in office and support him after he did numerous things that were just completely disgusting and condescending and just a stain on what it means to be the president of the United States.
But do you really?
I will not say he is the president.
But do you realize in our lifetime, well, not our lifetime, but in our recent history, that the Republican side of what presidential candidates and presidents they've had so far, Bush and now Trump. Do you realize it feels like it's two joke candidates? And I'm not saying President Bush was stupid, because he wasn't. He's not a stupid person. He knew exactly what he was doing. He had, you know, his folksy way of going about stuff and everything like that.
I can tell you right now.
But, like, the candidates that they've been giving out, I was like, oh my God, are you serious?
But you know what's amazing is, like, as bad as Bush was,
it's not this bad.
I would love to have him in office right now.
It's not this bad. It's not this
like,
bad at all.
I look at Bush, I'm like, you know what? Yeah, maybe you were a bit war happy and, you know, you wanted oil. Like, I get it. But you know what? You were at least able to form a proper sentence.
He wanted to fight for daddy.
You know, like, he would be able to at least go on the podium and create a lighthearted feel towards something that was a dangerous situation. And I know that's like a weird, weird thing to say, considering
it's
like...
It's folksy. It's very folksy. But that's no, how he's
it's
from.
True. Like, he was a president that, yeah, like, he had his quiffs. He had his fuck-ups, like anyone did. Like, even Obama at times had his fuck-ups. But at the end of the day, you still felt like his best interest was for the country.
Yeah. And that's one thing about Bush that I actually could admire about him, is that he did not care what religion where you were from. He was an equal opportunity offender.
Of course.
He would offend everyone.
At the end of equally. The day, like, but that's the thing. It's like him, Obama, like the you look at the two of them, like the most recent two.
Yeah.
And you cannot question their love for country, their love to serve, and to really just put the country in a position where it was what they felt was the best interest. Whether you agreed 100% with their policies or not, you felt their ideology was in line with what they felt was best for America. when I look at Trump, everything he does is what he thinks is best for Trump.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with America. It has nothing to do with the American people. And that's what bugs me, because at the end of the day, it's like, I have American friends, I have American family members. I don't feel like they are safe because their leader does not care for them. And that's not just the minorities. No, it's the white people. It's the blacks. It's the Latinos, Asians. Like, if you're in America, if you're American, I feel like this guy doesn't have your interest in line unless you're rich.
He doesn't even care about other rich people. Look at the people that this week alone, that council that he had for manufacturing and everything like that.
Oh, they're all jumping ship.
That's done. He dismantled everything.
No, not that. Yeah, he dismantled because they were all leaving anyway.
They're all leaving anyway. That's the thing. And I'm like...
And I mean, like, that's a typical Trump thing to do. Like, oh, no, you're not going to leave me. I'm going to fire you.
Yeah.
Like, you're not quitting.
He can never be wrong. He never wants to be wrong. He always wants the limelight of the attention.
Like, you had four people leave within a matter of, like, what was it, 2-3 days?
Oh, yeah.
And with other people already following suit because they were saying, look, you need to change or we're going to leave. So he just decides, I'm not going to change. So you're going to leave. I'm going to fire it. Like, basically, I'll destroy it.
It's a sad time we live in, man. When you have racist and Nazis coming out of the woodworks, man, and it's like, it's scary. This stuff is scary to people, especially for people of the Jewish faith and who are still alive who had to survive from World War II and everything like that, and they're seeing this. And what's the most egregious thing is that Ivanka Trump, his daughter is Jewish. She had to convert to Judaism because the son-in-law is Jewish. Man. And you're supporting Nazis. How does that make any sense?
It's disgusting, man.
How does that make any sense? It's like, how could you look at your daughter? How could you look at your son-in-law in their face and smile with them? I wonder how that dinner is going to be.
Yeah, Kushner's got to come out and say something, man.
Oh, man, it's too much.
I feel like he's somebody that if he opened his mouth, it would speak volumes.
But
no matter which way he leans, like, him opening his mouth would speak volumes.
Yeah, but when have you last heard him talk?
That's the problem.
He doesn't talk.
Very, very silent.
He does not talk at all. It's like he's, like, afraid of something. Like, come on, man. You need to stand up for yourself. Even if it is the president, you got to stand up for yourself at one point. And, you know, your whole faith was, and because of who you are, was almost wiped out by Nazis. And... you hear the president supporting that same ideology and you're not saying anything. You should have quit the same day that happened. You should have quit. Regardless if it's your father-in-law or anything like that. You got to have some self-respect.
You know what, man? Just keeping it real, you got to duff him, man. You got to, when you see him, you got to punch him in the face, man. Yo, real talk, punch a Nazi in the face, 2017,
baby. He
will get
shot on sight.
Yo, Secret Service got to understand.
you think Trump is going to catch a fade or something like that? And nothing's going to happen to him?
Yo, at least hit it Donald Trump Jr., at least. Man, one of them got to get dumped.
He looks like an asshole.
Get duffed up.
They both children look like assholes. It's like,
and like you look at your father-in-law in the face, like, if I could hit you, I would. So I'm going to hit your junior instead and just duff him. Bow, right in the face. You know what I'm saying, man? Like, someone's got to get it. Someone's got to get this free smoke. Oh, my.
No.
More dust for your head, Tasso. Watch how you speak on my people. Oh, one my time.
Oh, isn't that, who said that, Drake?
Yo, you know I remixed that thing.
Oh, man. Let's try to avoid Drake on this podcast, please.
Yo, relax.
Don't hear about
relax.
No soft-ass Canadians here. Relax. No soft-ass Canadians.
This guy, what's wrong with this dude?
No OVL Fest people.
Yeah, you can tell this dude don't get no hope.
Relax.
Let's stay on topic, please.
Yeah, so...
You know what, like, let's move on from that, because, I mean, I can sit here and slander Trump all day, but it's tired. It's tired. Like, I'm tired. Okay, boy, when I tell you I'm tired.
We've said too much about this. Too much.
One thing I do want to do is give a shout out and best wishes to Takia Thompson, who was the woman in Durham who basically put the rope around the neck of the monument that got pulled down.
That was the Robert E. Lee statue they had pulled down recently.
You know, they arrested her, charged her on two felony charges. And you know what? Like, I think it's bullshit because fuck that monument. I know it's vandalizing government property and all, but we support the United States of America's property, not the Confederacy, the losers' property. Okay? They lost. The only flag that matters from them is the white flag they flew when they surrendered, because they're losers.
That's real talk.
Okay? They are no longer here because they're trash. All these people holding on to them, just know you're cheering for the team that lost. You're not cheering for America, because America didn't fuck with them.
It's true. Right? I don't understand what is the appeal of the Confederacy. I don't get it. That's like you want to be losers the rest of your life? Is that what you want?
The appeal is these people think one day they will rise again. Well, guess what? You rise again, you're going to get that fade again. The Confederacy, you out your mind.
Confederacy will never rise again. It would never.
Yo, you again. Want a two-piece and a biscuit? Rise again, please. And I'm Canadian. I'll make the trip. I'll make the trip.
Yeah, I'm not going to the deep woods then. No hicks and shit.
Yo, we'll ride with our American partners, B-Lo. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I'll ride with the army or something like that. I will not go into the bush to look for hicks to kill. I will not go into the bush. It's like in Tuscaloosa or some shit like that in Alabama or something like that. Not that everyone from Alabama is a hick. I'm just stating something.
That was all Jason. That wasn't me.
I'm just stating.
But bringing it back on to what I was saying.
I'm stereotyping.
Man,
sorry, just, Alabama.
You know. Prayers to her. I hope that that community comes to their senses and lets her go, because what she did along with all those other people that were there was necessary. It was necessary to take that monument down. It was necessary to kick it after it got brought down, spit on it after it got brought down, because this is America. And you know what? Shout out to Baltimore as well. When after those other monuments were taken down, they overnight took down three monuments. Confederate monuments that were there. So hats off to them. And even in here in Montreal.
Yeah, there was a plaque. There was a plaque on, was it the Bay or something like that?
Yeah, I think it was either the Bay or the Eaton Center's wall, one of the walls, and they immediately took it down. And proud of them for that, because honestly, I didn't even know there was one there.
It was there. I had heard about it a couple of years back, but I never really paid too much mind to it because you know, because of the situation now it's been brought to light.
Better late than never.
Yeah.
You know, and we took it down. And honestly, if there's any others in Canada, take them the fuck down.
Yeah, that really needs to
take them the fuck down. Why the hell does Canada have Confederacy monuments? That's disgusting.
Canada has some alt-right people too as well, which I have no idea.
Fuck them too.
It's like, why are you...
Fuck them too.
But that also stems from another issue within Canada, well, in Quebec specifically, but we could talk about that another time. That's a little bit deeper than what's going on.
That's a whole episode of me telling you, this is the location, let's square up. About it.
It's true. And that's a whole other conversation, everything. Like that.
Ready when you are.
But yeah, I just hope the healing could start in Charlottesville. I would love to go to Virginia. It's close to where my family's. Our family's from down in the south, or in Tennessee, and I would love probably to go close to Virginia and probably just, you know, visit, see the culture and everything like that, just to see it and just to get to know the people there. Even in Tennessee, where, you know, it's a deep south, but there's not that level of hate. There are stuff, you know, that celebrates the Confederacy and stuff like that. Over time, I eventually assume these things will be taken down. Hopefully, I'm pretty sure they will. But, you know, all this stuff is going to take change. It's going to take a long time to change. And sooner rather than later, I hope that happens. But you have to have hope. Keep pressuring your elected representatives. Keep pressuring people. The way when you vote, that's going to help you in your struggle in the long run. People who don't want to take down the statue, vote them out. That's what you got to do. Just vote them out. I know a lot of people, especially in the Black community, don't think your votes don't count. Probably,
dude, they count, man.
Probably your vote doesn't count as much as when it comes to presidential. But when you're voting, you got to vote for your sheriff. You got to vote for your judge. You got to vote for your local representative, like your mayor and stuff. Those things are important. Those things are important.
Probably the most important for anyone, whether it's Canadian or U.S. Like, you really have to know who's in your backyard. Who is your mayor? Like, who's running your municipality?
You can get your people in. The people that you trust, you're directly influencing that.
Yeah, so people who are literally here for you, who, when we think of, look at right now in NDG and Côte-des-Neiges, where we have all the roads that are being fixed.
Yeah.
this is something that, like, for damn near 5 years, we've been saying these back roads are terrible. Like, you have some roads where, like, the potholes are so immense, you literally have to drive 10 kilometers an hour to make sure your car doesn't get destroyed.
Our roads here, we're Afghanistan. After the bombings.
Relax, bro.
Or Afghanistan relax. After the bombings. Jesus or Afghanistan Christ. After
sensitivity,
the bombings.
Bro. Come on.
I'm just keeping it real.
The point is, we had some terrible roads, but this year, they've really taken an initiative to clean up the streets and not like clean up the streets in the sense of like fixing the roads and like making sure the back roads are good so that we can drive and not worry about destroying our car.
Yeah, I'm happy that the roads are getting better.
But that only happened because the person we put in place listened to what we had to say. It wasn't just a guy who felt entitled to his job because he's been getting it every year. It was somebody who we voted for because he said, these are the things we need to do.
And it's getting done.
And he felt like the people before him weren't doing it and that when he came in, he was going to take care of it. And guess what? We put him in and he's held his word. He's done one of the many things he said he's going to do. But that's one thing that's a major issue that we felt in NDG and Côte des Neiges. And it's a mm-hmm. major issue that's being taken care of immediately. So things like that.
Voting counts. Voting does count.
Yeah, we get like
especially on the local
big
level.
Presidential thing, we always feel like it doesn't matter, but locally, if you focus on your local, focus on your province, state, your municipality, like your region, like
county,
your
all that
county,
stuff.
Yeah, like what's literally in your immediate area of effect is something that you really need to pay attention to and be responsible over because that affects you the most.
Yeah, as long as you vote, you're locally voting for the people that you want there, there's a better chance. And don't be discouraged by, like, say, oh, my vote doesn't matter. It does matter. And you can make the difference. And like I said, you can get rid of all these bigoted people from office that you think haven't been doing anything for you for the number of years they've been there.
One vote at a time.
It's going to take time. It's going to take a lot of manpower. But believe in yourself and it'll work.
Look, man, the ball's rolling. You see it. The ball is literally rolling. Things are happening. Like, effect is going. And right now, we're at that point where it's just like, it's literally the tipping point.
Yeah.
You know, and unfortunately, we may have to endure some more heartache in the next coming months, maybe in the next coming years. But at least we see that there is a definite reaction to the actions that have happened prior that is moving forward, moving positively, even with the hatred that's been around. At the end of the day, as long as we keep pushing forward, as long as we stay unified and understand, like, it's not just us versus them, but it's an us versus the hate. And we use that as the understanding of why we need to come together, why we need to stay strong and firm and uplift each other and move forward with each other in mind. We can get past this little bump that we have right now and build towards something that's so much greater and so much more progressive for not just ourselves, but like generations to come.
Could not have said it any better myself, man. That's perfect.
Spread love, baby.
Alrighty. So we're going to wrap this short episode up.
Yeah, I feel like this is a good place to end it, you know, on a little bit of a lovely high note.
Yep, keep it a little bit positive. No downers here.
Basically spreading that positive energy through the universe. Hope you feel it through the ether.
Yep. So thank you, everyone, again. And I would like to remind everyone that you can reach us at our own Twitter handles. So, Matthew, yours is?
Mine is at LeftyLucky_.
And mine is JJNBA. Those are all letters. You can contact us at on our Facebook page. Huddle. I'm sorry. I'm thinking of the old podcast.
Old school on us here.
Don't Be Mad Pod.
No, that's podcast.
Don't Be Mad Podcast. That's that's the Facebook.
Learn
page.
The handles, buddy.
And the Twitter for our podcast is
Don't Be Mad Pod. There you go.
And our website is theconnect.ca. Encourage everyone to join up. Go on the forums. We're going to have the discussion as well. We're going to go probably in more depth to this. Yeah. And
get deep with us.
Yeah.
Get nice and deep.
I'm not going to co-sign that.
But also, we have the email. Can't forget. Don't be mad at theconnect.ca.
Yeah, and stay tuned. We're going to do giveaways. We're going to do events. And hopefully, it's something that you guys will enjoy in the long term. And that's it. Anything else you want to add, Matt?
I love you all. Thank you for listening. Spread the word. Keep in contact. And have a beautiful, lovely week.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day. See you all next time.
Bye.